Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into worship this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity for us to get together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you, to praise you. Father, may we do this with our entire hearts, our minds, our souls. May we seek you in these moments. May we be refreshed this morning. Father, we know that there are those around us that are hurting, who are in pain. Father, we ask for a healing touch on each one of them. Soften the hardest of hearts. And Father, we ask that you may bless our offering, that we may use it to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you a song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, till my praise to you is like an ocean breeze, blowing on. That's what I want my praise to be. Like a fragrant rose in the early spring. Like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings. Whatever, Lord, you may need from me. That's what I want my praise to be to you. Everything I could give you already. So unworthy, and I spawn up the millions to stand and confess, and yet still you hear me. Your heart is open wide, but for what I bring, pray somehow you'll find a simple offering. It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like the summer sun with its warm embrace, like a gentle symphony. That's what I want my praise to be. Like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like the eagle soars when it spreads its wings. Whatever, Lord, you may need from me, that's what I want my praise. Like the ocean breeze blowing on your face, like the summer sun with its warm embrace, like the gentle rain plays a symphony. That's what I want my praise to be. Like the fragrant rose in the early spring, like the eagle soars when it spreads its wings. Whatever, Lord, you may need from me, that's what I want my praise to be. Like the ocean breeze blowing on your face, like the summer sun with its warm embrace, like a gentle rain plays a symphony. That's what I want my praise to be. Like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like the eagle soars when it spreads its wings. Whatever, Lord, you may need from me, that's what I want my praise to be. To you, Lord, I want my praise to be. Like the breeze, the summer spring, Lord, I want my praise to be. like the eagle spreads its wings.
All right. This is that time of day in the service we set aside to pray for our three who don't know Jesus. For those three people in our lives that we've been praying for, that we're called to pray for daily to lift them up. And we also do this corporately as a church every Sunday morning because we believe that prayer has power. We believe that when we seek God, that He answers our prayers. And we need to do this daily. You know, last week we actually had a testimony of someone who came to Christ that is being prayed for. Let us not forget that. Instead, may we continue to seek after God, to lift these people up, that they too may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to join together and to pray for the lost inside of our community, for the lost friends and loved ones that we have in our lives. Father, we pray that they may come to know who you are, that you set up that divine appointment, that opportunity for your word to be spoken into their lives. And Father, that their hearts are softened, and that they have a desire to grow in you, and they have a desire to be reached for you, and that anything that is holding them back, Father, we just ask that that goes to the side. That our community may come to know you as their Lord and Savior, that you may be the thing that reigns in our lives. Father, we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's continue the worship of one true King.
Faithfulness, oh God, you wrestle with the sinner's heart, you lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. sick face, and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. And I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Good morning. Before we dive too far in, could I have Katarina and Cassidy please come join me this morning? In honor of you guys making a decision back on Easter to give a public testimony of your faith, I want to present you guys both with your certificates of baptisms. And we're very proud of the decision that you guys have made and the examples that you guys have been living. I have seen a change in both of you over the last year, and I love everything about that. So thank you, guys. Well, good morning. I'm glad everybody could make it this morning. I want to welcome our guests that are here with us this morning. I want to welcome those who are joining us online and on the radio as well. We're glad you could be with us, even if it's in a different location right now. Now, before we dive into the message, though, this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity for us to come together and to praise and to worship you. Father, this morning we pray that your Holy Spirit be made known here, that each of us has a desire to serve you in ways that we may not have before. Father, if we have hardened hearts, may you soften them. Father, may we have a desire for the lost in our community. May we have a desire to be the hands and feet of Jesus and not just be okay with this is how it's always been. Father, I pray this morning that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Last week we spoke about the challenges that we face often when we share our faith with our family and friends. You know, throughout the text last week, we saw that Jesus himself had a hard time reaching his family and friends that he grew up with. That many of them loved Jesus. They liked him. They thought well of him, but they just couldn't get past the point that he was Joseph's son. Though they had heard of everything he was doing, the idea that someone from their hometown could be the Messiah was just a struggle for them. It was too much to believe. We spoke about how we often struggle as well in sharing our faith with our family and friends. That these are people that often see the worst side of us and have seen us in the lowest moments of our lives. And when we become Christians, especially later in life, oftentimes all they see is the old us. They have a hard time seeing what God has done in our lives because they don't want to. They have this image of us and they're in their head, and they have formed it throughout the years, and they can't shake it. So when we hear that someone has been saved, they get skeptical. They ask questions like, did it really happen? Some are even sitting back waiting for you to mess up. Because somewhere along the lines, they've gotten this idea that becoming a Christian means that you're perfect. And we know that's not true, that no way are we perfect this side of heaven. They know they'll screw up at some point, and they're just waiting for it. They're waiting for that I got you moment. That's what they're waiting on. Sometimes it even happens within a church. We watch somebody who's walked a hard life suddenly come to Jesus, and there are people inside the church who are sitting there waiting for them to screw up. That's not the right way for us to handle it. Each of us have loved ones that don't know Jesus. We have our brothers and sisters sitting on the right and left of us who have people in their lives that need Jesus. This is why we're called to work together, to share the gospel of Christ, to help plant seeds. Though you may not always be able to reach your friends and family members for Christ, someone else may be able to. That's why we pray for them. That's why we lift them up. It's to give that opportunity to seek God for that opportunity. And just like we may not be able to, we have friends and family who have other loved ones who are not able to reach them as well. You may be able to reach someone for Christ, though, that others can't. You may be just one moment away to help God answer someone else's prayers. We simply need to step up and be the hands and feet of Jesus, remembering that together we make up the body of Christ, that it's together each of us reach our neighbors, our communities, and the world for Jesus. It's not a one-man show. It's a teamwork. It's why we're called the body of Christ. Why the Bible tells us that we make up individual parts, that we work together. It's so much easier to do something when you have both hands available to you than if you just have one tied behind your back, isn't it? As we pick up this morning on the life of Christ, we're back in the Galilee region, where we saw Jesus in Nazareth last week, and we ended up seeing him being rejected, as we just discussed, to the point that he almost got thrown off a cliff by his friends and family. We pick back up in Luke chapter 4, verse 31 this morning, and this is where we're going to start. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. For those who aren't aware, last week I struggled with that name as well. I don't know why. Jesus had this habit of everywhere he went, he would teach. He would never stop proclaiming the message that the Father gave him to go out to the world. Everywhere Jesus went, he was constantly teaching. He proclaimed the love that God has for his entire creation. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. Everywhere he went. Even after he was rejected in his hometown, he still went on to call people to repentance, to leave their old way of life behind, and to look to their heavenly Father, to reach the world. You know, this same mandate that Jesus had has been passed on to each of us. To be willing to be bold no matter what we face in life. Even when Jesus was rejected in Nazareth, he didn't hang his head and say, well, I guess I failed. They don't want to hear this message that I have been told to give. He didn't just disappear quietly and never say another word or give up on his mission. Instead, he continued the message that he is called to give. He continued to tell everyone that would hear what he had to say. He left his hometown, Nazareth, and took the message to others, never giving up. He understood not everybody's going to accept his word. He understood that not everybody was going to be excited to hear what he had to say. But he kept going. And when he was teaching in the Capernaum, the Bible tells us in verse 32 that they were astonished at his teaching because his message had authority. His teaching style and skill left people wondering, who could this man be? Who could it be? They thought back on all the other teachers that they have heard over the years, and they could find none like him. They had never met a teacher like Jesus. The people would have grown up going to the synagogue every week. They would have heard teachers over teachers again and again on the Sabbath. Not to mention all the teachers they would have heard during the school days growing up. The teachers would have all been alike, though. See, these teachers would set out a problem that people were facing. They would show the example of the problem that the people were dealing with. And they would turn around and tell you what every rabbi before them ever had to say about that said problem. Yet there was one thing they didn't do. No one ever told them how they would actually solve the problem. They just kept talking about the problem. And then they would simply move on to the next thing, never giving a solution for what was going on. Yet here was Jesus. He was different. He was giving us an example of what to expect, what he expects out of each of us. He gave an example that we are to follow. He didn't mention other teachers had to say. He didn't rely on a rabbi's tradition or this rabbi's thoughts. He simply said, this is the truth. This is what it means. Take it or leave it. So often we make excuses, don't we? We try to set up a conversation, but we put parameters around it. Especially when it's a hard issue to talk about. We want to set these parameters and guidelines around it so we may not offend someone, that we may not say the wrong thing, that they may not dislike us. We don't go at it directly. We're scared. We're scared that someone may not like us suddenly. Yet we are called to look to Jesus on how to live our lives. The examples that he gave us was not to be fearful. The examples he gave us was not to beat around the bush. No, he gave us an example of boldness. He gave us an example of standing for the truth no matter who or what we face in life. He was direct in his teachings. He understood not everyone is going to like what he had to say. But he didn't try to justify himself. He didn't try to walk around an issue. He simply let his words speak clearly. And most importantly, on top of that, he did it with love and grace. Many came out to hear such a message. But not everyone who heard his message was willing to believe it or take it for themselves. It's no different from today. Not everyone that we share the gospel message with is going to accept it. We have to understand that. Not everyone is going to accept the fullness of the gospel. It's heartbreaking. It should be heartbreaking. But we continue to seek to share that message until their last breath. To never give up. Jesus gives us an example of the way that we are to share our faith, to do it with boldness, to do it with clarity, to not muddy the water, but be direct and clear with the gospel. In Luke's account of Jesus' life, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on that day, something happened. It tells us in verse 33 and 34 that in the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean demonic spirit who cried out with a loud voice. In verse 34, "Leave us alone. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Here in the middle of the service, in the middle of the teaching in the synagogue, there was a demon. There was a man with an unclean spirit within him. I always found this passage very interesting. I think many in our culture have all but dismissed demonic activity in our lives. Often it's looked at as something that could not happen around here. Yet the truth is, the devil is still alive and active today as he was back then. He still messes with people today. He still whispers in the ears, plants ideas, and is constantly working against God and his people. Here we see not only a demonic spirit, we see one at a worship service. Right in the heart of the synagogue, where the people were gathered to worship God, we can see through this passage that the worshipers are not always perfect people. We can see that not everyone who steps into a church service is saved. And you know what? That's okay. We should be a place for the sick. We should be a place for the lost. We should be a place that these people can come to and find the truth. We have to remember, not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian as well. We need to remember that there are people who will try to move into the churches to push their own agenda. There are pastors in pulpits who will preach the falseness. To push and move the church and the people to align with the world and not the Word of God. To get the saints, the body of Christ, to compromise on the truth. To step away from Jesus' teachings. There has become a movement for some reason in America today where people start to pick and choose what scriptures they like. Where they start to pick and choose what makes them feel good and they throw the rest to the side. In fact, it's even tricky sometimes when having conversations on how much authority do you give this book? Because I don't care what my feelings are. If this contradicts it, I need to look to this and I need to change my own self. I don't need to try to change this to fit me. Oftentimes it's done by using feelings, name callings, just as the devil did with Jesus in the wilderness. They take scripture and they twist it for their own desires, leading people from the truth of the gospel. Yet when you confront them, when you go against what their message is, they do the same thing that the demon did at this moment, don't they? They cry out, "Leave us alone." See, the demon understood the power of Jesus. He understood that Jesus was the very Son of God. And the devil is still up to his same tricks today. The very same ones. He still twists the scriptures. He still loves leading people astray. He's convinced the world that it's okay to murder our children for the sake of your own happiness. He's convinced the world that no matter that God made a mistake and put you in the wrong body. He's convinced the world that marriage has no value and nothing more than a social contract between two people. The devil comes to steal and destroy everything that God has made, to replace it with his own twisted way and to lead people away from him. He is working hard to take this message even inside the churches. And I am scared for the churches today because I feel as if we have closed our eyes to what is going on. And we have allowed this just to come inside and say this is okay because it makes you feel good. That's not what Jesus says. He says that we are called to transform our lives. That we are supposed to be remade new in his image. He made us from the beginning in his own image. And yet we are allowing the world to transform us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit inside each of us to transform us. See, when Jesus faced this in the temple, he gave us an example on how we're called to handle such a situation. In verse 35, he says, Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be silent and come out of him." Throwing him down before them, the demon came out without hurting him at all. Jesus faced it head on. He didn't dance around an issue and say, "Well, that's not me." Church, we're called to be bold. We are called to speak out with authority. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have a Savior who went to the cross for every single lost person, not just for you and I. We have a Savior who went to the cross for every single person in our world. And if we love them, we will tell them the truth. Because the day is coming where they will face judgment. The day is coming where they will have to stand in front of God. And if the church was silent on an issue and they don't get to enter the kingdom of heaven, the blood is also on our hands. We need to understand this, that it is with great boldness that we are to stand up for what the truth is. Just as the man who was possessed, it tells us that the demon knocked him down before he came out of him, yet the man was not hurt at all. We need to remember that Isaiah says, and it tells us, no weapon formed against you will succeed. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the darkness, against the evil spiritual forces in heaven." Our battle is not in this world. Our battle is a spiritual battle over our souls, over the souls of our loved ones and friends. We do not show hate towards those who have fallen prey to this world. Instead, we are called to love them with the truth. After Jesus had cast out the demon, it tells us in verse 36 and 37, an amazement came over them all. They were saying to one another, "What is this message? He commands the unclean spirits with authority and power," and they came out. And the news about him began to go out to every place in the vicinity. They were amazed. They had never seen anything like this. Not only did he teach like no other, they had ever seen anyone to take such authority over demons. The word was spreading quickly about this Jesus guy. But the question comes in, do you believe? Or do you just like what Jesus has to say and what Jesus did? Are you willing to make him Lord of your life? Are you willing to make that a daily thing, not a weekly thing, not a monthly thing, a daily thing? See, Jesus was not just about teaching in the synagogues. It wasn't about an hour on a Sunday or a Saturday for their case. It tells us in 38 and 39, after he had left the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. He stood up over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and began to serve them. We often look at the church as the place for ministry, don't we? We look at the building around us and say, this is the place that we reach people for Jesus. It is in this one central location in town. Though Jesus did teach in the synagogue, the church of its day, he gave us an example in the text that ministry is not just for a building. Ministry can be done at homes as well. It can be done all over the place. We have other teachings of Jesus where he's out on the hillsides. He's out in the valleys. He's out in the desert. He's up in the mountains. He's all over the place. And he's performing miracles. And he's teaching people about the message that he has for them, the hope that is found through him. We no longer do ministry outside of the building. Everything we do seems to be revolving around one central location. Yet here we see Jesus going where the people are in need. We see him leaving the place that many look to as a holy place, and instead he went out to the sick, he went out to the lost. It was there where Jesus went. The ministry we are called to should be wherever the people are. He left the synagogue and he went to Simon, who's later called Peter's home. It was there that he found his mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. Now the people knew who Jesus was. They knew who he could heal her, so they asked Jesus to heal her. They asked him to step in. And Jesus did just that. He rebuked the fever, and it left her. It wasn't something where it got better over a day or, you know, like we often see when we have a fever, we take Tylenol, we take aspirin, we take whatever, and over its course of time, it goes away. No, that's not how it happened at all. No, the Bible tells us that she got up immediately and began to serve them. She started playing the host to the guests in her own home. See, the passage continues in 40 through 41, and it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had anyone sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on each one of them, and he healed them. Also, demons were coming out of many, shouting and saying, you are the Son of God, but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. The crowds brought sick people of every kind to Jesus. This we are called to bring the sick and the afflicted to Christ. We are called to bring in the elders and lay hands on them, to anoint them with oil, to pray for them. Jesus took the time to minister to each and every one of them, not pushing them away, not looking for some other way over others, some more worthy than others. He took the time with each one. See, it didn't matter their background. It didn't matter if they were sinners or saints. He took the time to heal every last one. He took the moment with everyone that needed him. And even the ones that were possessed, Jesus didn't turn them away. Instead, he removed the torment from their lives, freeing them from the devil's grip. In verse 41, it was found very interesting. You know, why did Jesus rebuke the demon and not allow them to speak when they were shouting, you are the Son of God? They were proclaiming that he was the Son of God, that he was that very Messiah. You know, they understood who Jesus was, just as Satan had understood who Jesus was when he was in the desert tempting him. They had knowledge of the scriptures. They knew the word of God. They understood he was the Messiah. But knowing the title is not enough. Knowing that Jesus is king is not enough. They knew the word of God. They understood everything. They did not respect the title, though. Knowing Jesus is king, but not respecting the title that he has. They did not obey the title holder and believe in what God was doing through him. To Jesus had to rebuke them. He didn't need their false witness. They were maybe speaking the truth, but he did not need them. There are many who know the name of Jesus, but they don't respect it. They don't listen to the words that he spoke. They refuse to make him Lord of their lives. And they too will one day find themselves rebuked in his presence. As I reflect on the example that Christ gave us throughout the passages today, I see an example for all of us. The message this morning is titled God's Way, Time, and Place. God has a way for us to do ministry. That is to do it with boldness, to be direct like Jesus was direct. Not to back down to the pressures of this world. To stand up for what is right, even when it's not popular. To reach the least of these, and to look out into our community. Look for those who are lost and hurting. Show them that there's a better way. You know, it's easy for us to look down over someone and look down on them when they are down on their luck. It's easy for looking at someone and say, man, they really messed up their lives. We all know people that have a messed up lives. Guess what, though? They know their life is messed up. They're very aware of it. They know the struggles that they're facing. They don't need it pointed out. They don't need us to be like the rabbis were, where they say, here's the issue. I got nothing. They need us to be an example like Jesus was and point them to the solution. God has given us the solution for everyone's life, no matter where they're at. It's his son Jesus and what he did up on that cross for you and I. And it isn't just for you and I, it's for them as well. We need to be willing to proclaim that message to the world around us. To go out and let the world know. Next is God's time. God's time is not just on a Sunday morning. It's an every day of every week. It's within each person we run into. Jesus didn't stop because the service was over. He took the time to teach the people that he came across. He took the time to spend time with them that were looking for help. The Bible tells us in verse 40 that he laid hands on each of them. He didn't turn them away because he ran out of time. God will always give you the time if you allow him to work in your life.
Where you put your time is where you put your priorities. I know we live in a busy world and we often say we don't have time. But I can assure you, God has given you the time for every moment. The best trick the devil has ever played on our society is to make us think that we don't have time to share our faith with the people around us. He has us so focused on our own schedules that we no longer make time for God. We no longer fit him into our schedule. We no longer read our Bibles. We no longer go to him in prayer. Oh, we may say one in passing in 30 seconds or less, but we don't spend that entirety. We no longer get down on our knees and we seek his face. We no longer search for him. And we see the lost and we just walk right past them because we don't have time. And lastly, we look at God's place for him today. We see that God is not just looking for us to worship or do ministry in one place. God wants us to do it everywhere, just like he wants us to do it with our time, to make wherever we are God's place, his place of worship, his place of worship, and his place for ministry. Let your life be a place for ministry. You know, this could just be as simple as offering an encouraging word. Being in ministry doesn't mean you have to get up here and preach and talk. It could mean that you simply walk alongside someone who's going through a difficult time and point them towards Jesus. It could be sharing something that God has been doing inside your life. To open up your homes, to reach your neighbors, to lead a Bible study somewhere. To spend time with the world around us, no matter where you're at. God has given us his way. He has given us the time and he's given us the place to do his work. The question is, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to make that a priority in your life? You know, so often we have this desire. We're like, yeah, we'd love to do that, but we don't know where to start, do we? We don't know where we're supposed to begin. And just like Jesus gave us an example for those other things, he gives us an example as well in verse 42 of where we are to start. It tells us in verse 42, when it was day, he went out and he made his way to a deserted place. But the crowds were searching for him. They came to him and they tried to keep him from leaving them. That first sentence in this passage, he went out and made his way to a deserted place. What do you think Jesus was doing in that deserted place? Where do you think? 100%. Mark tells us in the exact same account, but in the book of Mark, it says he was praying. Jesus went out to find a deserted place to pray. Jesus showed us that what ministry is, and he showed us it starts with a relationship with our Heavenly Father in that lonely place of prayer. We cannot expect to know God's way, God's time and place, if we don't start by knowing God. If we don't take the time to hit our knees for a relationship with Jesus. Prayer guides us into that right relationship with God. It shows us the truth of his word. It equips us with boldness to stand for what is right and what is just. Prayer is where it begins. Prayer is the answer. We want to see people set free. We want to see people healed. We want to see the world around us turn to Jesus. We need to start with prayer. And I don't mean 30 seconds before you have prayer for food. I mean dig in deep, empty your heart to God kind of prayer. Allow your soul to cry out for what God is doing in your life and what he wants to do with your life. It's that kind that spills your soul to our Heavenly Father, that allows your heart to break for the world around us. One that allows God to work in you where you find yourself wrestling for a deeper desire and more of him. That's what Jesus did. He gave us that example. Did you know that Billy Graham, one of the most famous, if not the most famous pastor in the last 100 years, preached to millions of people around the world? I know some of you even had the honor of going to some of his crusades yourselves. He has seen millions come to Christ throughout his crusades. You know what he said? The only reason that they worked, the only reason his revivals and crusades worked were not his words. It was not his ability to preach. In fact, if you listen to his messages, they're very simple. And they're amazing, but simple, easy to grasp. It was because before he would come to an arena, before he would go into an area, the churches in that area started praying months ahead of time. They would hit their knees over and over again, lifting up this event, praying for every man and woman that is coming to any of these events. that they may have a hardness of heart taken away, that they may understand the gospel within us. They were laying the foundation of the gospel message to be heard. They were crying out to their heavenly Father. Folks, if we want to see revival in our community, if we want to see people come to Jesus and lives transformed and changed, if we want to see our church grow, if we want to see this community darkness removed from it, it starts with us taking time to pray. And God will show us the way. God will show us his time and place for all of this to take place as long as we start with prayer and we turn to him for all of our needs. Not on our own self. You know, Jesus said in verse 43, but he said that it is necessary for me to proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God to other towns also, because I was sent for this very purpose. We too are now tasked with this same message of taking the good news of Jesus to the world around us, to make it part of our everyday lives, not just an hour on Sunday. One of the ways that we do that is to start hitting our knees in prayer for Jesus. Pray for the lost in our community. Pray that our own hearts be softened, that we may break every time we come across someone who doesn't know God. Because that is an absolute. One day we know every single one of us will stand in front of Jesus. Whether someone has accepted him or not, they will stand in front of God. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But everyone will also have to face that judgment. Will they hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or away from me, I never knew you? Folks, this is real. This is very real. We have people in our community who are hurting. There are people in our community who don't know who Jesus is. We have a next generation coming up, and they're not defying. They're not defiant towards God. They genuinely don't know him. And it's because for so long, we haven't talked about it. We keep our mouths shut. We allow the world to rule. And we no longer proclaim the good news that is of Jesus. The life-changing message that gives us that freedom. And my heart breaks for it. Let us do it God's way, time and place. Let us start with prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the examples that he's given us, the love that he has for each of us. But Father, may we also remember the love that he has for each lost person inside of our community that has fallen prey to the tricks of the devil and of this world. Father, may we learn to speak with boldness and love. May we learn to proclaim your message to those who are hurting. Father, may we no longer be satisfied with an hour on Sundays. But Father, may we seek you in everything we do, in every way. Father, may our hearts break for the lost. May we have such a fervent desire for you that people can't help but notice you inside of us. Father, help us be that light in our community, that bright, shining light, even in the midst of the darkness. People know hope is found in you and you alone. No matter what they face in life, that they can turn to you and you will walk alongside them. Father, we know it starts with us as a church hitting our knees. And Father, help us hit our knees. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.
May God's peace be on each and every one of you. May he bless you and make his face shine upon you. May he give you rest and may he give you courage to speak out in boldness and proclaim the gospel message to everyone this week. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.